As we come to the season of the Resurrection Sunday, as we call it, signifying the day that commemorates the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If there's no resurrection, there's no reason to be here. We have nothing to preach, nothing to say. But He is raised from the dead. But Resurrection Sunday, as we've seen in the past, is closely related to this triumphal entry Sunday, the Sunday before. I'd like you to turn with me this morning to Luke chapter 19. For in Luke chapter 19, we have one of four accounts about the triumphal entry. This day is significant. It's a day that's significant in the week coming before Resurrection Sunday. As important as the resurrection is, the resurrection really would be meaningless in many ways without what happened on the day of the triumphal entry. I'm going to read verses 29 through 44. Invite you to follow along in your copy of the Scripture, whether it be in the Bible that's in the pew rack or the Bible that you brought with you or one that's on your iPhone, iPad, or other electronic device. Luke chapter 19. And as we read that, look carefully at what is said. Look carefully at what was portrayed by the young people as they came in this morning. And think about what it must have meant to the folks who were there. Many who didn't understand its significance. And it's possible that some of us sitting right here don't have the foggiest about its significance. It has a relevance and significance to you and to me. In Luke chapter 19, when Jesus approached Bethphage and Bethany near the mount that is called Olivet, He sent two of His disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you there. As you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one yet has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say, 'The Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent away went and found it just as He told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners said to them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of it.' They brought it to Jesus. And they threw their coats on the colt and put Jesus on it. And as He was going, they were spreading their coats in the road. As soon as He was approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen, shouting, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' But Jesus answered, 'I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out.' When He approached Jerusalem, He saw the city and wept over it, saying, 'If you had known in this day, even you, the things which make for peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will throw up a barricade against you and surround you and hem you in on every side, and they will level you to the ground and your children within you, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation.'" What a powerful statement. What an interesting series of events. But what's its meaning? Oh, Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in Your sight. For we acknowledge You as our Lord, our Savior, our Rock. Thank you, Father, for these moments together. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. When was the last time you thought, or perhaps even said, "If only"? Have you ever said, "If only I'd known you were coming, I'd have baked a cake"? There was a song about that at one point. Or maybe you have gone through and said, "If only I had listened to what the teacher had said, I probably could have done better on the test." If only. If only I could remember how my dad told me to do that particular job. If only. The day we celebrate today has that little statement buried in the verses, "If only you had recognized this day." We've talked about this several times before, and a number of people have said, "I hope you'll do the if only message again sometime." We do need reminders of the significance of this day of the triumphal entry. It's a day that must be important because it's included in all four Gospels. Not too many events in the New Testament appear in all four of the Gospels, but some rather lengthy passages are given to this account in all four Gospels. Because there's something unique about the day. And the uniqueness is not just Jesus riding on the back of a donkey that had never been ridden on before. It's not just that the people were singing, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." There's more significance. "If only you had known in this day," Jesus said. Well, all four Gospels talk about it, but let's focus on Luke chapter 19. Verses 29 through 44. For Luke tells something unique about the events of the day. As we will see, as Jesus prepares to enter the city, he comes to a place in the road that some of you perhaps have been on and have seen if you have toured Israel. Luke tells us that when he came to that point, overlooking the entire Temple Mount and the wall and across the Kidron Valley, tells us that Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem and makes that powerful little statement, "If only you had recognized." The word "know" there means to recognize and understand its meaning. If only you had recognized this day, the things which make for peace. Now, let's don't get ahead of ourselves. Let's think about this day a bit. Here's a picture from October 2008 as Judy and I stood in that place, approximately where Jesus was, as far as historians can tell us, overlooking the city. And I can remember this picture of us standing there and then looking over the little wall where we were down into the valley, and seeing all the places, the Temple Mount, the Eastern Gate, the Kidron Valley with all the traffic and buses traveling back and forth. That was on October 25th. But try to think. Try to put yourself in the shoes of the disciples who were there on the 10th day of Nisan, A.D. 33. The day that many scholars have placed as the day of the triumphal entry. And think about the climax of all of the events. Jesus is sent for transportation. Striking to me to try to think about it and think about being told to go pick up a donkey. Can you imagine going out into the parking lot somewhere and getting a car and getting in it? And if the police stop you, you just say, "The Lord has need of it." Can you imagine being told such a thing, and then going and doing and finding it exactly the way the Lord said? The colt was prepared. And by the way, be careful in the pictures that you use for the triumphal entry. Jesus was not upon an adult donkey, but on a colt. His feet would have been almost dragging the ground. And if you see pictures with him riding on something, it looks almost like a stallion with his feet several feet off the ground. You know that's not the way it actually was. But imagine their feeling. Having seen all of the events, having thought about all the things that had happened, the people who had been healed and the great things. This must be the King. It's the time of the Passover. It's the time of looking forward to the coming of a Messiah. This must be Him. This must be the One. And He rides in on the back of that donkey colt. They didn't recognize who He really was. A very unusual preparation. Getting an untamed, never ridden donkey. Normally, when kings processed in, they would ride a horse, and it was significant because most of the time when they would have a procession like this, it's when they had had victory and had won, and it was their picture of their power and their energy and what they could accomplish as king. Jesus comes on the back of a donkey. Historians tell us that kings who would ride on a donkey were symbolizing that they didn't come because of a battle. They came because of peace. And things were at peace. Interesting in light of what Jesus says, if only you recognize the things that make for peace. An untamed, never ridden colt of a donkey. And the official presentation of Jesus as the Son of God, as the coming King. And yet something else had to take place. It was an unprecedented procession. When you go back over it and look at it, it could be called a majestic procession of humility, people laying their garments in the path. And if you caught the significance of the youth bringing in the robes that were placed here, they place that to symbolize a fact of loyalty, of support, and of encouragement of this one who was coming in. There was a majestic response from the crowd. Imagine the wraparound sound that must have come from all of that. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. The multitude was fully expecting Jesus to set up His kingdom. They really didn't recognize who He really was. Coming, yes, as a king, but before He could be king and rule, He had to die in our place. He had to be presented, as it were, as a lamb. Well, when you get to this point in the story in Luke 19, you discover that's where most people stop on this day of triumphal entry. That's the message. It's all done. It's all over. But don't miss the rest of the story. Notice the responses that Luke records as he tells of Jesus coming in on the back of that little donkey. First, there was a response that was given by the religious leaders, the Pharisees. It's a very strong statement that they give. In a sense, it's like they're saying, you're messing around with our religion here now. You're going to have to shut these guys up. Rebuke them. The word that's used in the original language is a very strong word. Silence this multitude. Stop these outbursts. They're messing things up. This is our religious holiday and we need to put some dignity here. So tell them to stop. Rebuke those disciples. But notice, Luke adds the response of Jesus. And what an interesting response. Do you understand what He's really saying? He says, if these are quiet, the stones will cry out. In a sense, He's saying to those religious leaders, the rocks have got more sense than you do. Even the stones will cry out. It's sort of the picture that we get from Psalm 19. The heavens are telling the story. The heavens declare the glory of God. Their expanse is declaring the work of His hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. But there's no speech, there are no words, their voice is not heard. Their utterances go out to the ends of the earth. Even if you rebuke these disciples, the stones will cry out. God's message will get through. That's an encouraging word, or should be an encouraging word to us. Even if the voice of our missionaries has stopped, God's word will still get proclaimed. Isn't that good news? To know that God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and God is at work. And following that, the Lord gives that unique proclamation. On the side of the Mount of Olives, overlooking the Temple Mount and the walls around Jerusalem, weeping over the city, Jesus says, if you had known in this day. It says that He wept over it. Only two places in the Scripture that it tells us that Jesus wept. Here and also at the graveside of Lazarus. He wept over the city and He said, if only you had recognized this day the things that make for peace. If only you recognized it. The key to the statement is really the statement, this day. And for many years, scholars pondered, what did He mean by this day? What is the significance of this day? This day is the 10th of Nisan, A.D. 33, the day of the triumphal entry. And the significance of that is that as Jesus came into the city, it was the day that the Passover lambs were being set aside. They were being cut off from the flock to show that they were prepared to be the lamb that would be sacrificed on the 14th. Because it tells us in Exodus that that's when the Passover took place. The Passover lamb set aside or cut off or taken from the flock on the 10th of Nisan. Scholars have placed it as A.D. 33. There's some that think it might have been A.D. 34, but the overall picture is the same. This is the day that Jesus proclaimed. And to understand it, to grasp the significance of it, to come to understand what it means, we have to go back to Daniel chapter 9. You might turn there for just a moment and notice in Daniel 9, 24 through 27, we have the beautiful prophecy of the 70 weeks of Daniel. It is said that there would be a 7-week period, followed by a 62-week period, sort of a pause, and then a 1-week period after that. From what Daniel tells us, it relates to an event that took place in 444 B.C. The first period began with a decree, according to Daniel 9, a decree for the rebuilding of the city and the temple. The end of the 69 weeks is marked by Messiah being cut off. For years, scholars have studied that word and pondered it and wondered about it. And then there was a man in the 1800s who began to do a little calculating and research. And he said, now Messiah is going to be cut off after 69 weeks. And he saw that as prophetic in terms of the years. 69 weeks of years, total of 483 years. He went through the Jewish calendar and calculated it all out, and it came out to 173,880 days. Based on the archaeological findings, it was determined that 10th of Nisan A.D. 33 was the date of the triumphal entry. This man went back and began calculating and studying it through and looking, because there were shifts in the different calendars, the Julian calendar and other calendars down through the years. And he worked through all of those, and as he put it all together, he discovered it came out exactly 173,880 days. Now, that's all higher math, and for you that are not mathematicians and would like further authority on all of the calculations and how you come up with it, you can look that up in an important book that I'll mention again in a minute. But it shows us why Jesus said, had you known this day? The day that he was coming in was on the day that the Passover lamb was being set aside. Isn't it interesting that when John first met Jesus, he said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And it was on the day of the triumphal entry that he was officially presented as the Lamb of God. Not the King yet, but the Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world. Had you known this day, Jesus said, had you only recognized it, the things that make for peace. The book that I mentioned that was one of the first to come out with the study and the following through with all the calculations is a book called The Coming Prince. It's now on Kindle, still a classic, called The Coming Prince. There were those that tried to refute it and go back, but so far it has not been disproved by any scholar. Another book has picked up on it and follows through with the chronological aspects of the life of Christ and covering everything from the date of King Herod down to the date of the crucifixion, the date of the Lord's Supper, the date of the resurrection, and everything else. Dr. Honer was the one who did the research over at Cambridge in England. When he was a student there and putting together his dissertation on this particular subject, the people at the University Press of Oxford, not known to be godly people per se, but very scholarly, made the statement that Dr. Honer's work is impeccable. They didn't agree with all of the conclusions about the one that he wrote about, that is, who Jesus Christ is as the Son of God, but all of the calculations and the work that he put together, impeccable. Dr. Honer was our Greek teacher at Dallas Seminary and shared with us some of the work that went into the producing of this book, but of showing the timing of what Jesus said, had you only known this day the things that make for peace. Now be reminded of what it says in Exodus chapter 12. Some of you who were in the Fabulous Friends Fellowship saw a little of this with the work that Jerry Akridge presented on Friday night. But on the 10th of the month they shall take to them every man a lamb, take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. The triumphal entry came on that day that the Jews were setting aside their Passover lambs. The 10th of Nisan, A.D. 33, the day when they were cut off, as it were, when they were taken away from the herd and separated out, it fulfills that day to the letter. Daniel's prophecy came exactly on time, exactly the way God had prescribed it, all the way back in Exodus. Aren't you glad we have a book we can rely on? The Word of God is something we can count on. It's authoritative. It proves itself over and over and over again. Interesting statement is made in John chapter 12, in reference to all of this event. Notice the words, these things the disciples didn't understand at the first. When he said, had you only known this day, they didn't understand it at that time. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written of him and that they had done these things to him. They didn't recognize it until after he was glorified. And they came to realize the truth of what he said. What a difference a day makes. Jesus said, if only you'd recognized this day the things that make for peace. Ever think about what's required for peace? It'll take more than just a king coming in and setting up a new kingdom. It's going to take so much more than that. And Jesus took care of all of the essential ingredients for peace. The forgiveness of sin. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness. But Jesus freely shed his blood on Calvary's cross, so that God is just and righteous in forgiving us and in cleansing us of all unrighteousness. But not only that, we know from the Scripture that He declares us righteous. He forgives and declares us righteous in the righteousness of Christ. Without that righteousness, we would have no peace. Without that righteousness and right standing before God, we would have no reconciliation, no relationship with Him. But not only that, He provides a hope in preparing a place for all of eternity with Him. Forgiveness, declaring us righteous, preparing a place for us for all of eternity. That brings peace. The peace of God. Because the Lamb of God has provided for peace with God. So that peace becomes a characteristic of our lives. When we recognize Him and trust Him as personal Savior, all that He accomplished on Calvary's cross applies to us. It brings forgiveness. Declares us as righteous in Christ. And gives us a hope. The hope of being with Him for all of eternity in a place that He is personally preparing. And just think, it all goes back to this day. Oh, now this is not to minimize the cross. It's not to minimize the resurrection. It's to show that that whole plan is all set into motion. The plan of redemption that God has talked about ever since Genesis 3. And all of the Scripture weigh in heavily upon us to remind us of the truth, the authenticity, the authority, the beauty of God's Word. What a difference a day makes. If only we fully understood all of God's perfect plan. We don't have to be saved. All we have to do to enjoy the benefits of it is to believe, to take Him at His word, to trust Him. The thing that's so striking to me is that the whole time those people were coming in on this day, they were saying, save us! Save us! Save us! Hosanna! Save us! That's what it means. And Jesus said, if you'd only known this day, the things that make for peace, as He is presented as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, accomplishing what the blood of all those lambs and goats and other animals over the years could never accomplish, He took care of as the Lamb of God. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, we invite you to trust Him and to come to know that peace that only He provides. He died in our place exactly the way God said He would. He was buried in order to prove it. And the rest of the good news is that God, 3 days later, raised Him from the dead, as He said, right on schedule, right on time. And He was seen by over 500 witnesses to prove it. That's all in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where Paul tells, I have presented to you the gospel. You believed, you trusted, you accepted that. And the moment you trust Him, He brings a peace. He brings a joy. He brings a hope. The forgiveness of sin, the being declared righteous, the knowledge that He's preparing a place for us. Hallelujah. What a wonderful Savior. What a difference it would make in your life if this day you trusted Him. And come to realize that love divine, a love that is greater than all loves excelling. Some of you don't know the story, but there's a great story attached with this old song that we're going to sing in a moment. Back in 1961 in Manchester, England, Billy Graham was to speak to a group of ministers in the London area. It was before the London Crusade started. Mr. Graham became very ill, and he called on his song leader, Cliff Barrows, to speak in his place. And Cliff Barrows wondered what in the world he was going to speak on. With a grand piano and a great pipe organ in the place where they were meeting, they sang the song, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Joy of heaven to earth come down. Fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Mr. Barrow shares that as they went through and sang it, the ministers kept asking to sing it again. The message of the great love of God. The love of God that sent the Lamb of God to provide for our peace. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the accounts that we have concerning this day and the triumphal entry of our Lord Jesus Christ coming in on the day that He was presented as the Passover Lamb, the one who takes away the sin of the world. Thank You, Father, for Thy great salvation, so rich and free. Thank You for the assurance of Your Word and the hope that we have based upon what You have declared and have proven over and over again. May we recognize the significance of this day. May we rejoice in the great news of the resurrection that we'll celebrate next weekend. Anticipating, Father, the days in the future. Having the peace of God to govern and guide our hearts because of the forgiveness that has been provided. The statement of being declared righteous through the shed blood of Your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You, Father, for this day. And thank You for songs that we've been able to sing that help us express our praise to You and help us refine and define and declare Your love that excels all. Thank You, Father. We love You and we praise You as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.